Psalm 34. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. So what he's doing here in these three verses, he just comes right out here. Remember, this is a hymn. This is a song of praise. He just comes right out and says, let's make great the Lord. Okay? And he declares that to us who are the hearers, or to the people who are hearing him sing this psalm to the Lord. He just declares right out, I'll bless the Lord at all times. My soul, verse 2, will make its boast. And then in verse 3, he does what? He calls on his hearers to what? To rejoice with him. Okay? And the hearers are us. So as we come down through this psalm, we ourselves, our hearts should be gladdened as we understand exactly what is going on here in this psalm. So in verse 1, what you have from David is a promise to bless the Lord. He promises himself, he promises his hearers, he promises the Lord that he will grant to the Lord blessings for his deliverances. Now, two terms define this promise, and it is in verse 1 again, the word bless and the word praise. Okay, you see that? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. So to bless somebody in this context means to declare God as the source of, and then you can fill in the blank. Okay, so if I'm blessing the Lord, say I've been sick and now I've been healed, for me to bless the Lord means that in my sickness, in the context of my sickness, I recognize that God is the source of my healing. Everybody with that? So that's blessing the Lord. What is David blessing the Lord for? His deliverance, right? He's between a rock and a hard place, as it were, and the Lord has delivered him. Not only delivered him, he delivered him in Jerusalem from Saul, who was trying to kill him. He delivered him while he was on his way to Gath, and on his way to Nob, he delivered him there. He gave him food to eat. He gave him the sword of Goliath. Then he goes to Gath, and he gets in trouble there, and the Lord delivered him there. Then he meets up with his family up in the wilderness of Judea and in a cave, and he delivers them there. And eventually Saul's chasing him around the mountain, and the Lord still what? Delivers him. So David is making a promise to grant blessing to the Lord for whatever occasion that he's talking about. In this case, it's his deliverance. So to bless the Lord would be to declare to yourself, to declare to your hearers that God is the source of my deliverance. It wasn't my cunning. It wasn't how smart I was. It wasn't because I was there at the right time, in the right place, making the right decision, or because, you know, I saw some things, my great insight. It's not anything about me as the source. It's who? It's the Lord as that source. So David's deliverance was not due to his disingenuous tongue. Right? It wasn't due to his feigned insanity. It wasn't like, oh, David, that was so smart, you know, to let drool come down off your beard, you know, so the people will think, what is wrong with you? You're an insane person. No, he's not attributing it to his disingenuous tongue or his feigned insanity. What he is saying, plain and simple, is this. It was the Lord who did this. And he's going to bless the Lord for that. Our second word is the word praise. And what this means, the word praise here in verse 1, his praise shall continually be in my mouth, is probably referring to this psalm. In other words, it's a song. Okay? The song of praise. It's not just my mouth, although, you know, saying I praise the Lord. This is his psalm, this expression of praise, which would involve three things. Now, please get this down. This expression of praise, which is the blessing of the Lord, involves, first of all, thanksgiving in prayer. Because this psalm is a prayer, isn't it? Who's he singing it to?
The Lord.
The Lord. He's telling the Lord, I will bless you at all times. So he's communicating it to the Lord in the presence of others, but it involves a gratitude of praying. He's thankful he was delivered. Secondly, look in verse 2. It involves him making his boast in the Lord. Now, what does the word boast mean?
Brag.
It means to brag, right? You ever met a braggart? You know, I'm the smartest, I'm the most intelligent, you know, I'm this, I'm that, okay? Who's he bragging about? Himself, right? But in this case, David's not bragging about himself. He's not saying, oh, what a great, insane actor I was. Okay? He's making his boast in who? The Lord, who was his deliverer, right? So he's not only has a gratitude, a prayer, but he is boasting in the Lord and he's singing about it. How do I know that? How do I know he's singing about it? We're reading it, aren't we? Right? This is a psalm. This is a song. This is a spiritual hymn, as it were. So those three ingredients, when a person is blessing the Lord, when they're giving praise unto the Lord, it involves gratitude, it involves boasting in what the Lord has done, and it involves some kind of expression of praise. In other words, even to the point of, could I word it this way? You ready? Making melody in your heart to the Lord for what he has done. What a blessing that is, right? Those three things comprise giving a blessing to the Lord. I bless the Lord. Now, look at verse 1 again. How often is he going to do this? He's going to do it at all occasions, isn't he? All right, so let's say David's sick. And he gets healed. What's he going to do? I'm going to bless the Lord. He's the source. Amen. Okay, let's say that he makes a right financial decision. He's going to bless the Lord because he's the source of that, right? If he decides to, you know, feign insanity and walk right into Goliath's own hometown with Goliath's sword, okay, the one who delivers him, he's going to bless the Lord at all times, right? When David gets put as a king, he's going to bless the Lord who has made him king. Amen? Okay? And if something bad happens to him so that he has to be delivered, he's going to bless the Lord for his deliverance. So let's just pause right here and ask, is that the way you operate? Do you operate by giving God the glory as the source of everything? Or are you giving glory to medicine? Are you giving glory to medical people? Are you giving glory to your smarts? Are you giving glory to your teachers in school? Are you giving glory to how well you work? Now, it's not wrong to thank a teacher or to thank somebody, right? But who are you going to give the source of everything to? The Lord. The Lord is the one who's doing it. I wrote down as an illustration that David's not promising to do the way worldly people do. You watch maybe a football game. Oh, you know what? I think there's some kind of football game supposed to happen this weekend. Right? What's that called? See, you know about this, right? It's one of those strange things. But it's not like a football game. Okay? How many of you ever watched a football game? Okay? It's not like a football game that when, you know, the ball goes back and the quarterback throws it, or, you know, somebody grabs the ball and they run it in and they get to the touchdown zone and they cross the line and they score and they get down on bended knee and look up in the air as an expression of thanking the Lord. And then they get up and go, and then they go to five other guys and they find the television camera and they do a little acting job. And then they grab the football and they go running back to the sideline. It's like, and then they stop and they look at the screen and they look up there and they got to watch five times the replay. Oh, look how good I look. And somebody says, well, look at them. They're giving glory to God. No, they're not. Folks, only arrogant people bless that kind of giving glory to God. Only the arrogant would call something like that giving God the glory. When a person gives God the glory, he's not pointing at himself. Amen? He's not drawing attention to himself. It's not David getting down and say, I bless the Lord at all times, but look how great I was. Did you see that insanity job I pulled over on the king? That's not the way you give glory to God. That's giving glory to who? Yourself. Even though you have a little salt dash of religion on it. And folks, sometimes we're that way. We'll stand up in church and we'll say, you know, I really thank the Lord for this. But really in your heart or the way you talk to other people about it, it's all about who? Myself. That's not giving glory to God. Glory to God, giving blessing to God, is to declare God as the source of everything in your life. And in this particular occasion, it had to do with his deliverance. It involves you being grateful to the point of expressing it in prayer. We just heard that, right? We heard that in our area, and we have a little thing of thanksgiving, and someone gets up and says, you know what, you've been praying about this, and this happened, and I told the person thank you, and then I got alone with the Lord, and I what? I got on my knees and I said, thank you, Lord. Right? That's blessing the Lord. Amen? Okay? So it's an area of gratitude. It's talking to other people about it. I talk to this brother and I say, do you know what the Lord did? Even to the point that you might even sing about it. Now, brethren, I emphasize those three things to say this. When a person gets saved, that's exactly the way they act. Right? When a person gets saved, are they grateful?
Yes.
See, they don't say, my prayer saved me, or my rosary saved me, or my religious attention saved me. They say, it's the Lord, and they're thankful for it. Do they tell other people? They do, and they will come to a local New Testament church, and they will tell other people through the waters of baptism. The Lord did this. And do you know what else changes? What they sing about. Before, they're singing all about me and my girlfriend and people doing this and people doing that. Now they're singing about who? The Lord. What the Lord has done. And so, brethren, when we come together as a church, do you know what? David promises to bless the Lord at all occasions. Therefore, we, as well as David, should never lack expressions of thanksgiving in our prayer time. Whether it's little, right? Or whether it's big, okay? Whatever it is, we should be blessing the Lord and calling Him as the source of all things in our life. Amen? This is why we come together. And so David promises to do that. Will you promise to do that? Secondly, verse 2, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. David's innermost soul will exclaim the goodness of God to other people. Everybody see that? Okay, we've already talked about that. Okay, but here's what I want to bring out in verse 2. We've already talked about exclaiming God's goodness, boasting in the Lord. But here's what happened, folks. Someone gets up and makes their boast in the Lord and blesses the Lord and declares Him as the source of their deliverance. Whatever it is, right? Now hear me. And you're not moved at it, then you're not a humble person. Look at what the passage says. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Who will hear it? Who's going to hear it and be happy? The humble. Okay? Arrogant people who hear the confession that the Lord is good are unmoved. And folks, the reason why they are unmoved is because when you get up and attribute to the Lord a deliverance, in that person's heart, they're thinking to themselves, oh, well, this man did that for them. Or they'll say, well, here's a natural reason why this happened to you. Why do you give praise to God? This is just normal. And their hearts are unmoved. So when they hear it, what happens is they hear your praise, but they negate what you're saying in their heart. They're arrogant. Right? That's a prideful person. A prideful person does not give glory to God. He really thinks what? He did it. So let me ask you, let's ask ourselves another question. How's your heart right now? Did you hear any areas of thanksgiving tonight in our request? Yes or no? All right. How did your heart respond to that? Was your heart just like, oh, or in your heart you said, oh, I'm so thankful. Or maybe it said this. Do you know why in a lot of cases the humble get happy when they hear of these types of deliverances? Brethren, they get happy because many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord, see, it encourages them. That if the Lord delivers this man a job, or delivers this person favor, or gives this person insight, He'll do it in my situation. Amen? So here you got that going on, and then you go all the way down to verse 20, and you read, we're in the New Testament dispensation. You read, He keeps all of His bones, not one of them is broken. That really encourages you because that's talking about the deliverance of our Savior. Amen? Yeah. This just isn't a deliverance of a sinful person. This is a deliverance of His only begotten Son, who took upon Himself our sins. Did the Lord deliver Him? And we're in Him. And He's in us. This is why we're happy. Because we're strengthened in our faith. And we are happy to hear the relief of other people from their afflictions. Whether they're little bitty or whether they're a lot. This is a joy. And isn't that the way it is in a midweek service, brethren? When you hear people praise the Lord for financial or medical or wisdom or provision, doesn't it excite you? Or do you say, well, I knew they'd do it. Now, I'm only telling you these things because I know people say those things in their hearts. And the reason why I know is because I have had people say that to me. I've had people tell me, it wasn't the Lord who did this. You did this. No, my friend, it was the Lord. No, don't tell me it's Lord. Don't tell me. You did this. I've had people say, why don't you ever give yourself any credit? I'm like, because I don't deserve any. They arrogant people, I mean, that's shortwave to them. That's like, they can't process that. But the humble, they hear it and they're like, amen, hallelujah. Let's pray and thank the Lord for it. Well, you pray for my situation, right? There's a joy there. Oh, what a blessing. So verse 1, he promises to bless the Lord. Verse 2, he says, there will be people who will hear about my boasting and they'll be glad. They'll be happy. And then in verse 3, he just boldly says, come and join me. Come and join me in this praise. Oh, magnify the Lord. Now, here's how we know this. With me, let us exalt His name together. See, that's the way it's supposed to be in church, right? We're not supposed to be a group of arrogant people. We're supposed to be a group of afflicted, humble people who are rejoicing in the Lord delivering us. And we can all join in together on something like that. David desires the multiplicity of voices, brethren, because, I want to remind you, 2 Corinthians 4:15. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. In other words, is David glorifying the Lord? Yeah. Is he boasting in the Lord? Is he blessing the Lord? All right, let's multiply the glory. Let's share it. And let's say, let's rejoice in this together. And the congregation says, amen. And the Lord is more glorified. Everybody with me? Isn't this wonderful what David's doing here? So David is making the Lord great in the congregation of the righteous. Now I want to put a little footnote here. Whether or not David makes the Lord great doesn't remove the fact the Lord is great. Okay, so don't sit here and think, you know what? I need to make the Lord great because He's puny until I make Him great. No, He's making great the Lord in the congregation of the righteous. What He's basically doing is saying, the Lord is my treasure. And we do this in each other's company to declare His deliverances in our life, to strengthen our faith, to make great His name with our mouths, and to proclaim how excellent He is. And do you know what? ought to ask my wife to quote 1 Peter 2:9. That we've been delivered to declare the excellencies of Him who has saved us. Hallelujah. Right? We're supposed to be doing this. Now, what if you don't confess? What if you're quiet? Well, is the Lord still great?
Yes.
He is great, but what you're doing is you're making Him small in the eyes of the people. Confessing the Lord and His excellencies make His name great among people. When we don't confess this, when we don't confess His name, we are actually silencing His presence among people. In other words, brethren, part of the reason why our nation's in the shape it's in is because we've stopped making Him great. We've stopped talking about how great He is, the deliverances that He's done, His great excellencies of who He is. We've kept it within the four walls. And so that name has been silenced. Now, in verses 4 and following, He's going to tell you how the Lord answered and why He's calling this. But let's just close it this way. Will you promise to bless the Lord in all things? Would you, now we can't all every Wednesday say everything the Lord's done for us, or we'd still be here on Sunday. But can you share His answers to your cries so that we'll be happy in the midst of an unhappy world? And when you do bless the Lord, brethren, do we realize that when they bless the Lord, they are, whether they say it or not, they're calling for us to join them in their joy. Not for us to go, can we pray now so I can go home and eat? Right? They're wanting us to be joyful with them. And may a congregation, if I could just put a little plug in, may a congregation learn to make a joyful amen.
Amen.
When we need to. Yes?
Yes.
That we agree with this person's joy and we agree with him blessing the Lord and we're joining in with this. Amen. It's not just a routine upon our lips, but it's an expression of our hearts. So let's go to our Lord.